It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Feeling it. Final hour for the week on a Friday here on Overdrive, TSN 1050, on the TSN Go app, and now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Noodles will be back in a moment. Rocking some hats in studio. I've got a sweatshirt on that is a thing of beauty.
Loving it. I like it a lot.
I'm actually genuinely a fan. I'm kind of in a position where I would probably have to say I like it anyway. But I'm telling you, seriously, I'm a fan. You want to explain what's going on, what we're wearing?
Yeah, me and my buddy just decided to do some. Obviously, we're familiar with the term grit grinder. We use it a lot. We love it, respect it. We just decided to do something. Everybody kind of has knows somebody or is connected to sick kids. We're working with them. So we've got a Twitter account, Instagram, gritgrinder.ca. Next week, we're going to be releasing about four different things. So if you want something, get to it. Be limited stuff. It's not like we're opening up eight stores across Toronto, but we just thought it'd be cool to connect with sick kids and help them out. And, you know, they're looking to build a new hospital. So it's just kind of our way of helping out and getting involved with something that we like.
So sick kids, like the hospital itself, they're looking to build a new one somewhere?
Renovating theirs one. Their
really?
Hospital, which is going to be
an old, beaten down hospital.
Yeah, it's going to be a very complex thing, but it's going to cost a lot of money, as you know. So.
Well, that's a great cause, man. That's something we can all get behind.
Fun, something we like. We like the logo. And
well, I'm all about freebies, and I've picked that up off you over the years, but I feel like I should contribute. Like, I got to pay for the hat and the sweatshirt.
No, no.
Well, I'm paying something. I'll hook it up.
And no, you're not. It's free. I gave it to you. I brought in something for Noodles.
Okay.
Refused to wear it, but.
Well, he's a big-time TV guy.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a SportsCenter hit. He'll be back. He's on the panel tonight. Ottawa's in action. They could use a win.
They better get some things moving.
They could use a win. Speaking of sick kids, actually, the Leafs sent out an email not long ago that they're visiting the hospital for sick children on Monday afternoon. So they're going to be in Vancouver tomorrow. Chance to go 3-for-3 on this roadie out west. Then come home, probably take it easy on Sunday. Practice Monday, head to sick kids.
Yeah, that's always a great trip to see those kids. You know, to see the excitement in their faces when a Matt Sundin or Darcy Tucker walk in the room, it's a great trip. So I'm sure they'll have a good time doing that to cheer some people up.
Well, for sure. I mean, it's a tough hospital to be
it really
walking
is.
Around.
I'm not a hospital person whatsoever. Doctor's office, dentist, anything like that. No thanks. But when you're doing it for the kids, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a great cause. Great setup. So we'll be tracking that. I'm sure the Maple Leafs will be feeling good about themselves regardless of what happens tomorrow. I mean, in a way, they're playing with house money because if you go 2-1 on any three-game roadie, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself.
You really have to have that killer instinct in Vancouver. They're a team that it might be the most difficult game of the trip.
I keep saying that after each game, though. Like, going into each game, I should say. In Calgary, I'm like, even though Calgary's coming off a long roadie, so is Vancouver tomorrow, Calgary on paper and the way they've been playing is the best team of the three. And then the Leafs go in there and spank them and played really well. And then it's like, well, Edmonton's real due and they've won two in a row and they'll be hyped because Toronto's in town. The Leafs win that game. Now, we carry that logic over to Vancouver tomorrow. But this is what defines elite teams from very good teams. You don't walk into the building tomorrow saying, "Yeah, we got the first two, so
yeah.
House money." Elite teams roll in there and they're like, "We're going to spank these guys."
Yeah, and go perfect on the trip and go back home.
Perfect on the trip, because if you do that and you combine the two longest roadies of the year in terms of distance, the three in Cali, the three in Western Canada, if they win tomorrow, they go 4-2. Like, in that California trip was ugly because of the way they played against San Jose, the way they played against L.A., but they did beat Anaheim. So if you go 4-2 over six road games in Western Canada and throughout California,
and it doesn't even matter about the quality of the teams. It's just winning on the road is not easy.
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And last night was a fun game. It was a really entertaining game, and the truth is the only thing people are really talking about is Chris Russell and him scoring on his own net. And it's too bad because there were a lot of other storylines that took place. And we were talking about this earlier, like what's going on with Tiger and how he just takes over the whole coverage. And if you're Charlie Hoffman, you're like, wait a minute, can I get some publicity here? I'm minus 12. Like, I'm on fire. I shot 9 under today. Move aside.
Dude, you know the Justin Leonard story.
I know that story, but that's what I'm saying. And I think last night, to use that parallel in the Leaf game, it would be like Nylander saying, can you talk about me? I had 3 points last night. Yeah. But we're talking about Chris Russell. On the flip side of that,
Nylander was like a little side blurb on the panel hit. It was like, Matthews delivered, Connor McDavid delivered. Oh, yeah, Nylander was kind of good, too.
Right. And Chris Russell, first and foremost, right? Russell scoring on his own net played the role of Tiger Woods overshadowing everything else, because if you look at the Hero World Challenge, Brooks Koepka is 5 over on the tournament. He's probably like, go ahead, talk about Tiger. Please, don't talk about my game. And do you know who I think was the Brooks Koepka of the Maple Leafs last night? The Gardner-Zaitsev pairing. They were awful last night. They really got eaten alive.
They were doing some weird things, man.
No one cares. No one's talking about him because Chris Russell scored on his own net.
Yeah. Well, I felt weird talking about them. I'm like, this is kind of a positive game for the Leafs. Is it really worth like bringing in the negative? But they were just so egregious in their own zone. It was like it had to have been brought up. It was.
They've had a really down year, the two of them.
Yeah. And when you're a left-handed shot and you go out your weak side, and when you stop at the back of the net, you decide to go out your weak side, which is on your backhand, put one hand on your stick and try a one-handed backhand flip sauce, it's like, that's going to burn you every time. And the other one is just missed coverage. It's just wasn't good.
You dropped a no guy on the panel last night.
I know. And I thought about it. And the tap man must just... You have it?
We don't need it, dude. We can confirm that. We don't need a confirm or deny JFJ moment. I was witnessing it live and I cringed. I'm like, you just said no guy. And it was perfect analysis of Jake Gardner. And in the NHL, you can't go up your backside or up the wrong side backhanded. Here I am carving this analysis up. But you definitely can't do it one-handed. That's a no guy. And I'm like,
Taddy just is.
Tapman's not going to like that. He might sue you. Taddy might actually sue you. But anyway, Leafs win last night. The Leaf fans have been coming out in droves in Western Canada, and I would expect the same thing tomorrow afternoon. And when Noodles returns, we're going to save the Friday five-pack for Noodles, because I think he's a bit nervous that one of us will sewer him and
say that he hates the Maple Leafs.
Include him in one of our top fives. I'm not going to do that directly, but indirectly, Noodles will be included in mine. I'll explain it momentarily, but we're doing the top five people that hate the Maple Leafs. Feels like the right time because of where they're at and the trip that they're currently on going through Western Canada.
Yeah, it's like the New York Yankees, the evil empire rolls into town. It's like, who hates the Yankees?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Like, Flames fans don't like the Leafs. Oilers fans hate them so much more than Calgary
Vancouver
fans.
Vancouver, too. Don't kid yourself. Vancouver might be the most.
Think about that. Not the Habs. Not the Senators, not the Sabres. Vancouver and Edmonton more than likely hate this team and their fans more than teams within their own division and teams that have been around longer in terms of building up those rivalries. All right, Noodles is back. That was solid. So you're telling me if you do a SportsCenter hit, technically you could be back by 6:08? Is that what you're saying?
If you're efficient, yes.
Interesting.
I did two hits.
You did two hits.
Two hits.
That started at 6 o'clock?
No, we cranked one out just before 6, and then we taped one for Winnipeg as a panel tonight, Vegas and Winnipeg. So we talked about the Jets, and then we talked about the Ottawa Senators. That's what I'm working on tonight. But yes, efficiency is a
6:08. You're an efficient individual.
Plus, I had to run to Studio 6 and run back.
Well, this guy drives over to Studio 6.
Does he? No, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He drives. Dude, he's walked into the studio and like commented on the conversation we just had because he's in his truck listening to the show. He'll come in, he's like, man, that guy wouldn't stop talking. I'm like, were you just parked outside listening?
I drive back and forth.
I know why.
It's like a golf cart and like a plantation down in Florida. No,
it's just, yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Del Boca Vista.
Oh, the full-blown Morty Seinfeld routine. All right, I'm glad you're here, Noodles, because we've been promoting the Friday five-pack. We have not had a five-pack in a number of weeks because last week, were you away? I can't remember. I think you might have been away, Noodles.
Yeah, I was away on Friday.
You were away, and you had to go do a SportsCenter hit.
Craig
and
was in.
It was me and Craig. 2 weeks ago, we were at the Royal York. 3 weeks ago, I think, was the Hall of Fame night. It just, we haven't been able to consistently do it.
Right.
But we figured, considering what has been happening with the Leafs out in Western Canada and just the vitriol coming through the pores of people in Edmonton and Calgary and soon to be Vancouver tomorrow, I think it's the perfect topic. Perfect five-pack. The five people that hate the Leafs.
Five people?
Well, people or things or teams or media types. I mean, there's a lot. You can take this whichever way you choose.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
He keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beers.
They were all out of six packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, five pack.
Top five, top five.
All right, so are we all prepared here? We're ready to go? Who wants to kickstart the party?
I'll kick it off. I have got Brian Burke.
I think based on his recent interview.
You think so?
He might hate the Leafs.
I think he's got a hatred for what the Leafs represent, or at least in the city and the media, no question.
Right.
Hates some media members. And, yeah, I think that's a pretty good one.
I've got Mike Komisarek. He might hate the Leafs, although they paid him. It just didn't work out here.
I wasn't thinking a guy like that.
I've got
because
one.
It just I played against the guy in Montreal, and he was partners with Markov. He was a fantastic player, tough, just moved the puck, got it out. I think Jason Allison probably hates the Leafs too. That guy was a good player. He had 62 points for the Leafs, and you know what everybody said?
Slow as molasses.
Can't skate. 62 points though.
He was one of the slower individuals.
But he got 62 points, and you didn't like the way it looked, so you're an idiot too.
Raycroft had more wins than anybody. I didn't like the way that looked either.
Yeah.
Peter Horacek. To top it off, I've just got people in Western Canada. I think they hate the Leafs because we make them change their times of their games. And the last one is Habs fans.
Oh, you got Habs fans right there, huh?
Okay. I've got...
They hate the Leafs. Don't care.
Oh, I'm not disputing that they hate the
Facebook
Leafs.
On Facebook when they play each other. It's a gong show.
All right.
The number one, and I think this should be unanimous in the room, Larry Murphy.
Here's the thing about that. You're right. The way he was treated, future Hall of Famer, goes on to win
treated
multiple
like
cups.
Garbage in this market.
Born and raised in Toronto, diehard Leaf fan. So there's probably a part of him that hates, but is also kind of like, still loves. I think there's a part of him that still loves
it.
I do. But I'm with you. That was crazy the way he was treated here.
Jason Blake?
Blake got paid, though. Kind of like Komisarek. You get that kind of money.
I know, but it doesn't matter. I still think you get run out of a city and people are waiting to line up and kick you in the ass on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah, listen, he had it pretty bad at times.
Vesa Toskala.
So you guys are going all former Leafs. I have a very
different
viewpoint.
No, I know. I'm actually heading in a different direction here in a bit. But, I mean, you know, Vesa, I know him. I don't think he hates it, but I think he hates it. Well, he just gets...
But he'd play better.
People remember one goal. That's all they remember.
No,
Andrew Raycroft's had 38 wins here, and people think he was terrible. He's actually a really good goalie.
Here's what hurt them that isn't their fault, and it's true. It's understandable maybe why they hate on the fans and the media. The trades that those guys were a part of. Raycroft got traded for Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, that doesn't...
That stung. Vesa Toskala, they gave up. I don't remember the exact details, but it was like multiple picks, including a first-rounder.
Okay.
So that's why they started off kind of like Phil. They were in a bad spot right before they started.
Vancouver Canucks fans.
Mm-hmm.
That could be number one on the list.
It could be, man.
It could be, because there is... I for some reason, from being in the middle, I feel like... Vancouver's a beautiful city, and they think they're the best city. And people from Toronto think they're the best city because they think it's beautiful, too. So being from in the middle, I watch the vitriol go back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's a real...
They hate Toronto, and they hate the Maple Leafs. And
yeah.
There's no denying that.
And I think Sens fans are right there. You said Habs, but I think Sens fans are... Because of the
watch the brawls on YouTube.
Well, yeah, exactly. The history between the two organizations.
I kind of put it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't have to. I don't have to because I'll just pick up on where you left off. I think Sens fans, of all the fans, hate the Leafs more than anyone else.
Yeah.
Because they share the province, because they share the history in the late 90s and early 2000s where they were the better team every year and the Leafs dummied them. Dummied them every single year. And they've had year after year, please don't sell your tickets to Leaf fans. Please don't do it. And every single home game, it's like the ACC in there. Daniel Alfredson used to get booed at home. I think the Sens fans hate the Leafs more than any other fan base. And that's saying something because they all do throughout the country. They all do. I've got Oilers fans actually ahead of Vancouver fans.
Really?
I do. I feel like Oilers fans hate Toronto.
Maybe recently.
Hate the Leafs.
Recently. But I think
hate the the subplot with McDavid that he'd rather be here than in Edmonton.
But
I know somebody from Edmonton that is not happy with a certain show from the bridge.
Oh yeah. Right.
This what? Person said Joe from the Bridge was so obnoxious last night, tooting the Leafs horn.
Oh, is it a she? Does she work for SportsCenter?
Well, I don't know.
Excuse me, I said I don't know who the person is.
Yeah,
I know exactly who it is.
But I just think, I believe that Oilers fans and Leafs fans were kind of in the same boat for a long time. So there was a lot of apathy to each other. But then recently, now because of McDavid and Matthews, there's that rivalry.
But that's the thing, though. I think they hate the fact that Matthews is even lumped with McDavid because they believe, rightly so, McDavid is the greatest player in the world. And how dare you? And because Matthews plays for Toronto,
it's only
we
recent,
have to
though.
Do the comparison thing. I hear you.
It's a good point, but it's only about the year, last year or
sure.
so.
There might be some recency bias, too, because of last night. I just felt like tracking Twitter and going down different timelines. And the media in Edmonton hates the Maple Leaf media and... It was funny to watch all that last night. This is a collective. Noodles, indirectly, you're going to be involved in this.
Yes.
Western Canadian hockey players that never played for the Leafs.
It's true. But I've actually openly admitted it. Because, like
yourself,
I said, I'm playing,
strutty,
for the Calgary Flames, and I got to find out what Carlo Koliakovo's cat looks like. Like, it's embarrassing. And that's why... Because you're literally and the team was
his
junk.
His name's Coco. Mm-hmm.
Team was junk. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, why again? Like,
why not?
Why are we talking about that last?
Push.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so you're right. I mean, there's not that I hated the Leafs. I never hated on it. I just thought it was kind of sad.
Mm.
I actually thought it was sad.
Okay, well, sad. That's almost worse than hate. That's like
sad for them, not sad for me. Sad for them.
That's what I'm saying. You're such a joke. I'm sad for you.
Well,
in a
way,
that's kind of what it was.
But now, like I say, life's changed, right?
Absolutely. All right. And the next two are actually homegrown.
Oh yeah.
Diehard Raptors fans that only like basketball. Because of the internal competition, and they get the same treatment that the other six Canadian teams get, but times 10 in this market.
Right.
Where the Raptors, they've got a big game going, but if the Leafs have a big game going, guess what's starting SportsCenter?
Yeah.
Guess what's on the front page of the Sun, the Star? Guess what our show's starting with?
And there's
the other
not a lot of crossover, right?
There isn't. I think the majority of people in the city have grown, I think, of Toronto sports fans to love both teams and
you
want them both to do well and support both.
I think you could go broader with that and just say athletes playing in Toronto on any other sport when all they see is hockey stuff.
Well, that's probably true, too. I just don't know how much they really care
about
what's being
covered.
Like,
imagine throwing a great game on the mound for the Jays and it's...
Wasn't there a...
Maple Leafs preseason leading off... Whatever.
Wasn't like every time the Argos would something and the Leafs would like make a trade or like
the Argos have done.
Well, that guy Ricky Foley was like, I can't believe they signed Mike Babcock on a day where we've announced that I think it was the day they announced they were getting the Grey Cup, they're moving to BMO Field.
Yeah.
It was there was multiple stories, like big stories.
That happened.
Big stories that happened.
It just coincided.
And it's like ooh, they just hired Babcock. They just did that.
You're right.
So, you know, Again, my experience with the Raptors and the Leafs and the competition between the two fan bases. And the number one person for me, this is the only number that I'll actually list, self-loathing Leaf fans hate the Leafs more than anyone on earth. And what I mean by that is...
Yeah, explain that.
People that love this team but hate what they've done to them for 50 years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Leaf fans that sit there and watch every night and they just... After every game, they're like, I'm done. I'm never watching again.
Yeah.
I hate them so much. Why do I continue to come back to the seats that I'm buying? Why do I continue to buy that jersey? Why do I continue to tune into shows and watch every single game? And there's a lot of self-loathing Leaf fans.
I've heard a ton of that during their bad year. I don't even watch the Leafs anymore.
I hate them. I hate, like, literally,
no,
hate.
I don't watch. I don't even watch Hockey Night in Canada,
but
anything.
But that's in the back of their mind. They're waiting serious. To return
they
and come back.
They couldn't watch it. But that year where they mailed it in and packed it in every game in the third period or second period.
And that's my point.
People were like, I don't even watch that anymore.
I was one of them. I don't care how much people in Vancouver, Edmonton, Montreal, Buffalo, Larry Murphy, I don't care how much they think they hated the Leafs. That year during Salutegate and Kadri getting suspended and I hated that team so much. It was beyond passion.
You couldn't even, they were so unlikable.
Right. So over the years, some self-loathing Leaf fans.
That's a very, very...
They can hate.
That's an honest...
Pretty good return to the Friday five-pack.
I think so.
Fought back with that one.
I think so. There's a lot of people actually writing in with their own...
Well, Mike wrote in saying McCulloch, Stalock, Brooks Lake, Jared Cowan, and Frank Corrado. Yeah,
Frank Corrado.
Hashtag Robidoux Island.
Yeah.
That's some conspiracy theories.
No, those weren't some conspiracy theories. Those were like front and center, like, yeah, you are going away because we have money to make you go away.
Kevin tweeting in, Joffrey Lupul, potentially. All right, Dreg's coming up, a Western Canadian boy. Get his take on the list. And Matthews versus McDavid last night. Leafs in Vancouver tomorrow. Ottawa, man, they could use a win tonight. Lots of stuff going on. We'll get Dreg's in studio next. Don't forget TSN 1050 soccer coverage for the road to the MLS Cup. The MLS playoffs come to an end with TFC facing Seattle in the MLS Cup final next Saturday at 4 p.m. Watch all of the action on TSN. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. And our TSN Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. Here's Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
I'm great. Got my grit grinder hat. I am set. Good to go.
It's a great look, isn't it?
Tremendous.
I like it.
I can't wear the what do they call them, the flat hat?
Flat brim?
Flat brim.
Right, I mean, there. I like them. My 17-year-old loves them.
I think it's because I have a fat head. I mean, you guys got little pea heads.
Yeah, you can get away with it. You can get away with it.
Honestly, if you got a small head, you can't do it.
I'm absolutely in lock, stock, and barrel with that. I mean, I wear the flat brim. I look like a complete knob.
Yeah,
complete idiot.
I can't pull it off. Maybe it's because of the Cro-Magnon forehead I have or whatever it is. But the ears, like, I always found that if I put my hat on and the hat went over the ears, that's close to being over your ears. Like,
You can't have it over your ears.
I look like I'm struggling.
Donk.
I know. Over the ears. And I wear a hat every day. Every day of my life, but I like the curved brim.
Yeah.
I like just an easy hat. This one is an outstanding hat.
It is.
This one, although I'm a little bit rattled. Yours says hashtag gritty on the side. I didn't get that.
Yours just says grit grinder on the back. They're all a little bit different.
Yeah. That's what you need, man. Variety.
Nice touch.
I like
it. Grit grinder ink. Love it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to throw something at you that we were talking about earlier off the air, but watching that Leafs-Oilers game last night, and you do work with TSN, NBC, you know the way it works with scheduling. It's not easy to get everything perfect, right, Noodles?
Yeah.
But we're both watching that game last night. Noodles and I come in and we're like, we need more than two games a year between these two teams.
Yeah. It is. Like, it's so true.
Is that possible? Is
Oil
it something
Leafs?
Absolutely.
Dude, how the hell are you going to arrange that? Deep in the West.
But here, let me hear me.
Noodles
out.
Can lay it on
this
the
was
line
my
for
idea.
You.
Last night, a lot of the hockey world had eyes on that game, right? Because it's Matthews and McDavid. It's two organizations. I mean, I know Edmonton's just been awful, but the Leafs are heading that direction. The league needs more of that. To me, the ratings would have been very high. Fan bases were excited. And it's not just Toronto and Edmonton that would pay attention. I think a lot of the guys throughout the league pay attention to games like that. So if you could find a way, maybe at the start of the season, to identify almost like rivalry night, but not like that, where you find a couple extra games for stars to go against stars. That's what sells this league. And if you're looking for extra revenue and things...
Yeah, but guess who else is going to freak out, Jamie? The coaches. because the coach is going to say, do you think I want more games against Connor McDavid? Screw that. Yeah. I want to play that garbage team down in Florida or...
But he doesn't own the league. You tell the coach where he's supposed to go, that's where he's going.
If you had a formula at the start of the year where they say, okay, we need, you know, McDavid is a draw here, Matthews is a draw here, if Eichel or whoever else, Laine is a draw.
Yeah, then guess what? You, Carolina Hurricanes are going to stand up in a meeting and say, what about us?
Yeah.
We're just pieces of garbage.
I'd be curious how that game would have rated on NBC. Now, if we're using Toronto, Edmonton as the example, Matthews versus McDavid, I don't think there'd be much of a bump there. I don't. But I know what you're doing.
The
I
mean, focus in early
if one of them
on,
played for the Rangers and the other one
that's
for the Penguins,
different.
It's saying, a totally different.
The focus early on in the league, what was it, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, was Crosby,
Ovechkin. For sure.
And they've been hammering that drum.
And by all accounts, they changed the scheduling because teams in the West were like, we need to see these guys one time a year.
Fans, for sure.
Fans were saying
100%,
that.
That's why they
that's what
it.
I'm saying.
So
is,
if you can, I mean, it's your league, you can... You can decide how you're going to do it. I mean,
just to manipulate it so that there
but is
are...
the game that bad? I mean, from a ratings perspective or otherwise, there aren't many teams in the National Hockey League now that don't have an element of star power. There aren't that many. And I mean, you watch Arizona Coyotes come through here recently. Turned out to be a good swing for them. I'm okay with watching Clayton Keller play. You know, I mean, introducing a new age, a new level of star to the NHL.
I think what it is, and this is maybe my personal selfishness as a fan, not as an analyst, I wanted to see more of that. I wanted to see more of last night's game.
Yeah.
And I do. I do see, I watch so much hockey, Clayton Keller's
excited. But you guys aren't normal, though. You're not the average fan.
Right.
You can't consider
I think I watch about 800 games
a
year. I really
exactly.
do.
And listen, it's easy for us to sit here and say it, say this is what they should do. A lot of it is computerized. You know, there's a scheduling that comes out even before the Cup Finals even played, I believe. So it's easier said than done. I'm just saying, perfect world for me.
Yeah.
I would have Toronto Edmonton play more than twice a year. I would have whoever was in the Cup Final the year before play more than twice a year.
Yeah.
I would absolutely like to see that. I would have Pittsburgh, Nashville play four times if it's possible. Twice in Pittsburgh, twice in Nashville.
Yeah.
And if you have to take a Pittsburgh... You know, Ottawa, the third game between those two teams, and say, now you're only going to play twice? Okay,
but that's,
it's for the betterment of the league.
I understand what you're saying to try to build up the rivalry type thing, but you're screwing teams, and you're screwing the good teams.
Yeah.
Like, do you think Pittsburgh wants an extra two shots at Nashville? No, thanks.
Well, and don't
that's
forget,
that's a possible
too.
4 points gonzo.
I hear you.
When
and
Florida's playing Carolina down there, six different times. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Look, it's pie-in-the-sky stuff. I get where you're coming from, Brian, but, then... To drive another wedge into this, you've got the CBA, and you've got mandated days off, right? So now if travel is incorporated into all of this, and you're trying to get more interconference or cross-conference play injected,
it is.
It complicates things.
But
I get it.
From it being your league, and you being creative, and this is the formula we're going to try for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And add
if it doesn't work, you change
doesn't
it up.
Work. It's just... Yeah. It was a selfish standpoint that I actually proposed it to Brian when I walked in, only because before the Russell goal, I was ready for overtime, and I couldn't wait to see McDavid versus Matthews in overtime.
Yeah, me
three
too.
On
That's
three.
What I was hoping
felt
for.
Felt like we kind of got that stolen from
us. Yeah, we got
us.
Jobbed a little bit. But it happens, and it was just from a fan's perspective. I was like, geez, I'd like to see that. That was
a fourth line showcase for the most part.
It was, which...
I mean, not to say that the stars didn't shine. You know, we saw enough from McDavid, and obviously Ozzie scored right out of the hopper. So.
Yeah.
Well, what do you make of that? We've been talking about how the Oilers would react to an outcome like that, where they start so poorly, battle back, outperform the Leafs second and third period, and then Russell scores on his own net.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me feels like almost a nail in the coffin.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to envision things going worse for the Oilers this year than what they already have, but that was... kind of the final straw in some respects. And the fact that it was Russell, who's a hardworking guy, block shots, does everything, you know, the right way for the most part anyway, from a game perspective. You know, he scores a beauty with a rocket over the shoulder of Freddie Anderson, and then, you know,
have that happen. Equally beautiful goal.
It wasn't nearly as bad as Lion A last year.
No, it wasn't.
Although, I mean, this turning out to be the game winner made it pretty dramatic. But I, you know, from an Oilers perspective, you know, they have to embrace small victories. And there were parts of that game that they could call victory, right? I mean, I don't know what you guys thought. I mean, after the first period, I thought the Leafs were coming back in that second. They were going to steamroll them. Yeah. I thought this is the type of game somebody ends up getting fired, whether they deserve it or not. In Edmonton, someone, either there's a mammoth trade coming or somebody's going to get fired.
It
that's
that
how it looked. In the first period,
terrible.
That's how it looked.
Yeah.
You know, whether the Leafs flattened out a bit in the second, or you give the Oilers credit, they came out charged. I mean, final 40 minutes, Edmonton played good hockey.
Yeah, they did. They played well. And
it was a good game after that, but that's, I guess, my point. It was like, I would like to see more of it, and
right.
We will. The rest of the league will play, I mean...
Well, these two teams play each other in 9 days.
10 days, December 10th.
Nine or 10 days. So, anyway, Ottawa's in action tonight. You guys are going to be on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing what's going on in this division. The Leafs, they keep chugging along. Tampa, they've slowed down a little bit, but I think we all feel good about where they're at.
Sorry, we're 2 hours in. We haven't mentioned that the Habs are in a playoff spot.
Yeah, Montreal's... Now, they're a point up on Boston. Boston has 4 games in hand.
Yeah, you're right.
But you're right. I mean, Montreal's won 4 in a row ever since Price came back.
It's the parity of the league, though.
Yeah.
And you know what? Montreal had actually turned the corner a bit prior to Price coming back. They had. They were starting to get it. And maybe it was because of his absence where the group decided, look, we better tighten up defensively here. So they started to buy in to Claude Julien and the coaching staff, and the energy came up, and Price comes back in, and they're on a roll. They still need a couple of offensive pieces like Pacioretty to get going again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we always talk about parity. I wonder if it's just mediocrity. I mean, maybe it's one and the same. You could use both words interchangeable, but like the league is riddled with teams that are just very, very mediocre.
It's top heavy.
Yeah, like
that's what the league is.
But even the top heavy teams have some flaws.
Yeah.
Like the Leafs are third place overall. Is anyone suggesting this is a perfect team?
With no. Frederik Andersen facing the most amount of shots, they gave
in the month
40
of November
plus last night, didn't they?
Exactly.
Like they are a team that still.
You know, even St. Louis, you look at it and you're like, wait a minute, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen where St. Louis got here?
I mean, that's why, you know, we're asked to predict the conference winners and ultimately the Stanley Cup champion at the beginning of the year before the preseason even starts. I mean, you're guessing. You're 100% guessing. And try and guess now.
No,
like, do we honestly think as good as Tampa Bay has been, are they a lock, you know, to win the East? No. They're obviously not.
No.
St. Louis, as well as they've played. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in Anaheim? You know, they make a good trade. They get Adam Henrique. They get other pieces. You know, Getzlaf's coming back sooner than later. Kessler will be around Christmas. They might take off, you know?
They have no choice. They have to.
Yeah, they have to.
Well, they're built to win right now. There's no doubt. But in terms of that deal, I mean, that was one that I would not have been surprised, even with Vatanen's injury, if that happened at the draft or throughout the summer or certainly before the expansion draft, but when they traded Theodore to Vegas and worked out deals to keep other guys, I just figured they were sticking with that defense.
Yeah, but
so what happened there?
Montour needs more ice. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Larson, you know, young guy. Mm-hmm. Again, he's really good. And they've got prospects coming. You know, defensively, they are loaded for bear in Anaheim. I mean, this is, you know, Bob Murray doesn't get enough credit, maybe. You know, I mean, some of us are surprised that he's hung in there as long as he has as general manager because they've never won.
Right.
They really haven't come close to winning the Stanley Cup. And every year you feel like they should take that step closer.
Well, they what was the series? Chicago? They were up. Weren't they up 3-1 in that series?
Well, that's what cost Boudreaux's gig. A couple years in a row, they were up 3-2. Yeah. Game 7 at home.
In their own building. That's what it was. In their own building.
You know what we need to find out? What Bob Murray was looking for Vatanen from Lou Lamoriello.
Well, we were talking about it on text. I would, if it's the only guy, it might have been Kadri.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been Kadri?
Well, it seems like it would have to be a young player like that with at least some term remaining on his contract, not a UFA, right?
Plus, if he was looking for a centerman.
Yeah. That's yeah, you're not taking Tyler Bozak and Matthews and something.
So it's to me it was Kadri. If not,
I don't make that trade.
I wouldn't make that.
No,
deal.
But if it's anybody else on the outside of that, you had to push hard. I was back and forth with these guys. Guys like Vatanen don't grow on trees. Like and it was on display again last night that if the Leafs are want to be ultra elite, their back end could use an upgrade. Well, and a guy like that, now, at what expense? If it's not, you if know it's not Kadri.
What I would wonder, though, is let's say Murray said, that's the guy I want.
Right.
If Lou circled back and said, okay, Manson's coming back then, or Montour is coming back. Yeah. Like, if there was a counter to the counter, if you know what I'm saying. Like, Vatanen's the guy we're offering. We want Kadri.
I'm not entirely sure it had to be a center either.
Really?
I mean, they've been looking for a forward for a long time. And originally, it was a left winger. I mean...
So would Van Riemsdyk have...
Well, that would be the guy that I think would be the obvious fit. But maybe it gets complicated because maybe it needs to be a sign and trade. And and that even gets further complicated because JVR probably doesn't know what his term and what his value should be financially at this stage. Mm-hmm. Could be a lot bigger number than the one that Toronto/Anaheim was willing to give up.
Well, if it was Van Riemsdyk, I think the Leafs would have moved on that pretty quickly, depending on what the other pieces were, I would assume. But I think if it was Connor Brown, all of a sudden they would look at it differently. I do. I think they value Brown incredibly high.
I know, but I would look at that differently too, though, because I think Connor Brown's a really good player.
Yeah.
But let's not, I think...
Overvalue him.
Exactly. I think there are guys that... They may even believe in-house that would may not get to Connor Brown's level, but pretty darn close. Like if a Kapanen continues to roll along.
Right.
And I keep coming back to there's no top four defensemen kicking around the league that are with some term on their deal, can play on your power play, would probably slot real nice with a guy like Morgan Rielly and push Zaitsev down, which would push Carrick or whoever else out and or down. Like
Polak out.
Like now all of a sudden you're like, man, we keep thinking or saying, if this Leafs team wants to look like a Stanley Cup champ or contender year in and year out, what are they missing? Maybe one piece, maybe two on the back end.
Maybe.
If you miss on somebody like that, yeah, again, in-house, you need guys.
I hear you, man, but I still think, and again, it's tough when you bring Pittsburgh into the equation because, you've got Crosby, you've got Malkin, Kessel's been a real good support player there. Benino didn't play in the Stanley Cup final, but they had a lot of strength up front. You look at that blue line that won a Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not many Norris-caliber players.
But you don't, copycat league, I get it, but it may not work. And if you believe, it can work, great, but if it doesn't, and you've already messed with a chance, that's...
But the thing is, Vatanen, he's not Doughty
No, he's not.
He would still be a by-committee type guy.
I agree.
So, anyway, all right, Dregs, we'll catch you on the panel tonight.
Another successful Mail It In Friday, fellas?
That's generally the way it works. These hats, man. The hat really has put me in an attitude.
I think that drove it up an extra 10%. So you guys might have been closer to 83% today.
Of mail in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might
I'm
be right.
Full mail in today.
He asked Ray a question.
After it had already been posted.
That Brian had asked two questions before.
It was one of those afternoons. Anyway. Thanks, Dregs.
Thank you.
Here's Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. All right, we'll get to our best bets. We'll tee up a busy weekend in the sports world. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board this weekend, I can't believe I'm taking these points. Jacksonville -9.5. But they're at home against the Colts, so I'll lay the points. I'm taking my Packers at home against Tampa Bay.
Apparently Aaron Rodgers is going to practice Saturday.
That's what it sounds like. He's not going to play on Sunday, but
no kidding.
He's getting close. And I'm fading the Browns. Fading the Browns, I'm laying 14.5 at home, the Chargers over the Browns. Chargers coming off a couple of big wins recently. They've got a full 10-day stretch in between games because they played on New Year's Eve. And the Browns are the Browns. Like, do I really have to explain?
No, no, you don't. They lose. No.
Yeah, they
every
suck.
Week.
And they you fade them, and they never cover, and they're brutal.
What do you mean fade them?
Yeah. Like, run for the hills. Don't ever bet on the Browns.
You'll just never bet on the Browns.
Never. Ever, ever,
even
ever.
If the spread was 40 ever. Points.
Well, maybe 40 points.
There you go.
Yeah, if you gave me 40 points, then all of a sudden I'm running towards the Browns.
Exactly.
Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Be good to see Corey Joseph back at the ACC tonight. Dwayne Casey will have his boys playing well tonight.
And our tracksuits ready to ship up here?
I would think. I'll bet you they have a better third quarter tonight.
Yeah.
How much money do you want to put on that?
What, the league doesn't, or the lead doesn't just mysteriously disappear again?
Yeah. They'll be fine.
They'll be motivated in the third quarter.
I don't think the tracksuits are making it up here.
No, me neither.
Really don't.
He flushed that immediately. He's not doing it for
Why
us.
Why would he? He's the head coach of a pro sports team.
And Cosmo Kramer asked him to
Hook him up.
Like, he wanted.
We got a lot of stuff coming up. I got the Raptors tracksuit, possibly a TFC puffy coat with a hoodie.
Argos
puffy coat from Jim Pop.
Jim Pop, he got out of here pretty quickly after that request.
Done with that.
Yeah. I think the TFC is your best chance because Andy might hook it up.
I think Andy wants to flush that too.
Well, yeah.
Because Andy's husband works for them, doesn't
she? Yeah.
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 Oh, she's got a connection with TFC, but.
And
why would she waste her time?
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, no
exactly.
Kidding. So would I. All right. Tiger, Leafs, Canucks, Raps, NFL.
Be a good weekend.
Should be a fun weekend. We're out of here.
We're going to be back at 4 p.m. on Monday to what?
Chat then.
Yes.
Chat then.